was hard to believe, but this is the first week of Advent of 2021. It's already here. A young guy came up to me at work ago, maybe a month ago, said, "Hey, Daryl, when are you going to retire?" I said, "Well, Lord willing, December 15th, 2023. That's on a Friday. I will not be working 8 hours that day. Or, unless I get aggravated, it's going to be December 15th, 2022. And this young guy said, "Daryl, that's a long time away. Maybe for you, but not for me. But seriously, isn't time just... my goodness, I mean, and I'll have 45 years in next December, and just, I don't know where time went, I'll be honest with you. It just happened. And just like in 2021, it seemed like January 1st, and now here we are, the first Sunday of Advent, and Christmas is going to be upon us here in 4 more weeks. And you know, as a minister, it's always... holidays are kind of challenging because you always want to preach something fresh and you want to preach something new. And a lot of times Christmas, we have a lot of, we have a lot of tradition with it. And tradition's good and it's okay. But if we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in our tradition that we kind of leave God's word aside. And we really need to go to God's word. And again, this start of this event, we're going to start out the broad range. And Scott's going to be narrowing it down, I'm sure, to the birth of Christ. But what is about the gift of Christmas? The gift of Christmas. Again, Scott is going to be talking to us here about the gift of Christmas here pretty soon. But today we're going to talk about the promise to the world. The promise that God made to the world about Christmas. And it's an amazing, amazing gift of God. And God's promise to the world. Now, I know you guys just went through a series of a new heaven and a new earth. And we thank God for that, especially for those of us who are Christian, that someday we'll see Him face to face. Spend eternity with the one who first loved us. My sin, your sins, put Him on the cross. But as we come to this first week of Advent, let's look at the promises of God that He made to the world. And He made that promise just after the fall in Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. So, for the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You shall crawl on your belly and you eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." In verse 15, it tells us something here about soon after the fall, there's going to be a male child that's going to be born, and he will crush the head of Satan, and Satan will strike his heel. And it's amazing how much God loves each one of us. You say, "Now, wait a minute, I've ruined my life. I have done this and this and this and this." Well, I got good news for you. The blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you and forgive you of all your sins. I mean, looking at the promise of the scripture this year, to fathom the scope of this promise, we must look to the prophecies of Jesus the Messiah. And it's amazing here, and I've heard this before, and we're going to just talk about Kim for a second. She is up here, opened up the service. And we're going to get a hat. And I'm going to get 10 pieces of paper. I'm going to put an X on one. We'll have Kim up here. We'll blindfold her. She'll pick out a piece of paper, and she'll have a 1 in 10 chance of getting the one with the X on it. Peter Stoner, he is a mathematician. He loved the prophecies of the Bible. And he taught it in a college, and he taught there. And he was a Christian man. And he got involved with the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and he looked at the 8 specific prophecies of the Scripture of Old Testament about Jesus Christ. And he started to think. And think about this. And what are the probability of this all happening, all 8 of these prophecies being fulfilled? And he literally started going through, him and his 600 students started going through, what are the chances? What are the chances of this all taking place and happening? Well, they finally figured out it would be 1 and 10 to the 17th power. 10 to the 17th power. And what that means is this. If you had a bunch of silver dollars, you take these silver dollars and you go to the state of Texas. Texas is 268,820 square miles. You take silver dollars, you go to the state of Texas. That would be as high as 2 feet high of silver dollars in the state of Texas. Now we're going to take Kim again, and we're going to fly her to Texas. We're going to drop her off. And Kim is going to find that 1 silver dollar. You say it's not going to happen. That's correct. It's not going to happen. But that is what the prophecy would be fulfilled if this could really happen. So he lets us know right then, man did not say this. The old prophets of the Old Testament wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It was the Son of God who said this, and it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I just want to talk just for a second here about some of the prophecies that the Old Testament talked to us about in the New Testament. 1, that Jesus would be born of David's family. Satan, time and time again, tried to destroy David's line, but Christ came through the family. Even after the curse of Jeconiah, it came through the line of David. He'd be born of a virgin. He'd be born in Bethlehem. He would spend time in Egypt. He would minister to Galilee and Nazareth. He would be announced in advance by John the Baptist or Elijah type of herald. And that time he was born, the children of Bethlehem would be massacred. He would include the Gentiles in his ministry. He would teach through parables. Oh my, he'd have a triumphant entry in Jerusalem. He'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He'd be given vinegar and gall and cast lots for his garments on the cross. He would be pierced and not a bone be broken. He would die among the criminals. He'd be buried by a rich man. And on the third day, he would rise again. And following his resurrection, the destruction of Jerusalem. All these things were promised to us in the Old Testament, and they were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. What God says, God will do. Now listen. If we believe that he can forgive us of our sins, if we believe he can get us to heaven, then we're going to have to trust he can keep us in between. He can keep us in between. From the time we're born again, from the time you see him face to face in heaven, he will keep us in between and help us each and every day. What God says, God will do. And we look at these 23 prophecies this morning in the Old Testament about the coming Messiah. And the first one's found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 through 15. And here's what he says, "Hear now, O house of David, it is not enough to try the patience of humans. Will you try the patience of God, my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son. They will call his name Emmanuel. He'll be eating curds and honey, and he knows enough to reject the right and reject the wrong and choose the right. And this was given to us in the New Testament in St. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. In the days of Caesar Augustus issued a decree of a census to be taken in the entire Roman world. And this is the first census taken by Quirinius, the governor. And everyone went to their own town to be registered. So Joseph went also to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Again, back to the line of David. And he went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and who was expecting the child. And while they were there, the time came, the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger because no room for them available in the inn. Literally, when God says something, he planned this all out, that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Wow. Literally, God moving heaven and earth to fulfill this promise. We see another promise here in Scripture. And this takes place in Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. When Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. Again, fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. So he got up, took a child of his mother through the night, and left to Egypt. And they stayed there to the death of Herod. It was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. It's easy for us to overlook these texts. But on this Christmas account, we have to stand amazed at what is happening. You see, in Scripture, Egypt is a metaphor for sin. And when the children of Israel were there, they were enslaved after Joseph died. They were enslaved until a new Pharaoh came to power. They were fruitful and multiplied, even in the midst of adversity. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. They kept multiplying and growing. And you know, that's what sin does to us today. It binds us. It hinders us. It tries to destroy us. But out of that, God can call us out of Egypt into a new light, into a new hope, into a new eternity, into a new way of living. And they literally called them out of Egypt. The sinless one, who was called out of the land of sin to save the world from sin. Praise his holy name. You know, it's amazing to me. You say, well, I've messed my life up. It could be anything. Do you realize God can take that mess and make a blessing out of it? You say, well, I got my life messed up with drugs. Do you realize God can forgive you? And you use that situation that used to bind you out to help somebody else. God will use each one of us. And that mess we got ourselves in, he can use that mess for our good to help build and advance his kingdom. And the third prophecy this morning we want to talk about in the Old Testament. Where the Messiah would be born. Again, it goes to the Christmas story, and it's found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come to me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And this was fulfilled in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. But when he had called together all the people, the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler, and he will shepherd my people Israel. He will shepherd my people Israel. And you know what's just amazing to me? That none of the other people followed them there. They stayed back. I mean, they said, well, he can be born in Bethlehem, and you think I'd be going following with them. No, they literally stayed back where he's at. And the Magi went to find Jesus. 700 years before the birth of Christ, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 53. 700 years before his birth. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, tells about Messiah is going to come. But now in Isaiah chapter 53, 700 years before his birth, the Lord gave us this prophecy, and it was fulfilled. Whom has believed our report, our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He will grow up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of the dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we would desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, like one through whom we hid our faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he looked upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we consider him punished by God, smitten by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Thus punishment brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, had gone astray. Each one turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. He opened not his mouth. He was like a lamb to the slaughter, as asleep before the shearers is silent. He did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord will crush, that is the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of our Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. He will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressions. He bore the sins of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins, my sins, your sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. A little over 2,000 years ago, Christ was born. A little over 2,000 years ago, Christ walked this earth. A little over 2,000 years ago, he literally changed history. So what is our promise this morning? What is our promise? Everything he says in the Word of God will be fulfilled, and it will happen. We look at this world right now, and let's be honest, it seems to be a mess. You shake your head thinking, I can't see how we get any worse than this, and it does. But what God says, it will happen. And as Christians, we win in the end. And I thank and I praise his name for that. Let's just bow our head for a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word. Thank you, Lord, what you say has come to pass. And Lord, thank you so much for you giving us your son, your best gift, your only son, to live this world. Lord, help us go forward for you. We love you and we thank you and we need you. And we ask your God, help us keep eyes upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith.